that you are a God, and that you are a people, and that we are your people. Thank you for inhabiting our praise and our worship today. Continue to dwell within our midst. Father, I pray that everything that I say, that I will speak, that I will do, that it will be God-breathed, God-directed, and God-anointed to Lord God. May your Spirit continue to move and to touch us in a mighty way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to... does everyone know Minister Terrence? Hallelujah. Raise your hand. Who do not know him? Okay. I'm going to give you, hopefully I can do this quickly. They tell me at work that when I tell stories, they look at the clock. They always say we long-winded. Huh? I don't know. But I remember Brother Terry a few years ago, he had come to God's Miracle Church on Hall Street. And we met each other. We exchanged cards and stuff. And I guess a few years went by. And this particular day, I'll never forget, this was when I was running my business, and every Monday I set aside for prayer. This particular day, probably about 7 o'clock in the morning, maybe 6, and the Lord put it upon my heart to call him. And I said, "This is Brother Munford. Do you remember?" He said, "Oh yes, I remember you, Brother Munford." And I said, "Well, brother," I said, we were living in Goochland. I said, "Well, today is my day of prayer. What are you doing today?" "Well, not really doing anything." I said, "Well, come and join me for prayer." You remember, brother? My wife was getting ready to go to work. It seemed like that brother got there 2 minutes. He lived in Chesterfield at that time. I can tell you this. He came by. And he can verify this. We came by. We began to pray outside. All I can tell you is we prayed all day. Amen. Amen. My wife went to work. She came back home from work. 8 hours. We outside, what? Praying. She goes in the house to cook. At this time, I don't even want to eat any food. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. So I'm full. We still praying. She goes back in the house. Checks back out, 8 o'clock. We still praying. We began to talk, and never forget this. And he was sharing with me how he was looking to do a CD. He did not know I was a musician. But he said that he was just looking to get with a group of musicians who love the Lord more than they love their talent or their instrument. I'll never forget that. So I'm just listening to him. So we began to pray. Months, brother, right?
Every Monday
now, we're coming to pray. But we're praying, how long? Maybe 6 months or 7 months. Maybe longer than that. I never told him I was a drummer, though. Because I wanted our relationship to be based upon the Lord. And not upon what so-called talent we might think we have. I'll never forget the day the Lord put it upon my heart to take him into my studio. I'll never forget this. And I said, Brother Terry, I want to show you something. And I brought him upstairs to my studio. He He looked around. He looked. He said, well, who plays the drums? Do you play, Brother Munford? I said, yeah. And so we went on, both Brother Terry and our dear brother Gombe, myself, to produce and to record various CDs. One, two, I can't remember. Two anointed CDs. But it was, I wanted our relationship to be based upon the things of God. That's an anointed man of God. Anointed man of God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to try to do this again. A few weeks ago, I tried to bring this message, but God had something else about his fire. That fire. So let's see if we can try to do this again. The title is The Five Principles. Five Principles of a Thankful Heart. If you're not thankful already, based on what you have experienced here today, this morning, God says, in all things give thanks. He is worthy of our praises. He is worthy to be praised. He is the Alpha, the Omega, as I heard Sheila said, the beginning and the end. He is El Shaddai. He is our provider, our sustainer. All of our blessings comes from him. Does it come from you? Of course, it says faith without works is dead, but works without faith is also. So let's begin at Psalms 100, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all lands, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Could you turn me down a little bit? Got a slight echo. Come before his presence with singing. That's great. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his sheep. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all, not some, but to all generations. So what do you think, or what do you think, or what do you think when you think of Thanksgiving? Many of us think of food, festivities, football, Dallas Cowboys, yay. Yay. okay. We're supposed to be serious right now, so. All right. Laughter, yes it is. It's medicine for the soul. Gets those endorphins going. Too many times, as Sheila said, it's time to wake up. I don't want to be churchy, but I want to be the church. It's a difference. There are so many that are churchy. Because you're churchy doesn't necessarily mean you are the church, the bride of Christ. All right, try not to scream today. All right, these things in itself are not bad as far as Thanksgiving. But thanksgiving is much more than this. True thanksgiving is not just one day, people. For football, food, family, it's not just a holiday or every fourth Thursday in November. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." God says, "In all things give thanks." In all things. When we are going through difficult times, take a step back and say, "God, what are you trying to teach me?" I believe I heard someone say that, I believe it was Sheila. She covered it all. But I believe she said, and it's true, God allows. Understand that. God allows the leadership. Don't just talk about, pray about. How many of us have just been caught up in talking about and complaining and murmuring? Huh? I'm going to say something to you. It's going to mess you up. Did you know Donald Trump, Jesus died for him? Did you know he's a soul? He has a soul? Will the true Christian stand up? Pray for him. Pray for his soul. Pray for the leadership. I hope this goes through all over the internet. Black man saying, guess what? Jesus loves them too. Far as I know, he has not committed the unpardonable sin. I know this is messing some of you up, because all you've been doing is talking about and complaining and murmuring, no prayer coming out. Jesus. Where is the Holy Ghost in your heart? All right. Where is the Spirit of the living God in your spirit? Amen. Where is the discernment? Where is the compassion, the mercy, the grace of God? But we say, I'm a believer. A believer of what? For us as God's people, every day should be Thanksgiving Day. Although we know Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday, it doesn't commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday. It's simply a day we supposedly set aside to express our thanks to God. But that should happen every day. I should worship the Lord thy God every day. See, we need to get back to the elementary truths of the Word of God. The Word of God is truly simple. Talks childlike faith. It is we who think we smart, who want to make it complicated. God doesn't want it complicated. He wants us all to understand it, to walk it, to eat it, to grow, and to mature. Grow up. Grow up so you can stand up. Stop crawling, stop sniveling. Stop going around the mulberry bush. You're going around the same old stuff. You have no idea how many people we have to pray the same stuff over with. We get tired. Grow up. Children of God. God says that. You remember he wrote his word upon the tablets of stone, right? The Ten Commandments. Where in the New Covenant he said that he's now writing his word upon the fleshly hearts of man. Got a question for you, and it's rhetorical. Don't respond. Think about it, contemplate it. How does God write his word upon the hearts of man? Upon we who say we are Christians. Think about it. How does he write his word upon your heart? People, you got to pick it up and read it. You can't just rely upon the pastor. How do you know I'm not getting it all twisted? Be like the Berean Christians. Take it, disciple it, research it, discern it, make sure the interpretation is proper, is correct. Because I'm a man. I pray for the anointing and pray God would use me, but I am not perfect, believe it or not. My wife knows this. She tell me every day. You have something to eat. All right, I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble. Yeah. I learned this a long time ago. I don't like being in the doghouse. I'm going to get fussed at when I'm going home. All right. In Psalms 100, we find a song of thanksgiving, subtitled Song of Thanksgiving. It is an invitation to join together to acknowledge the great things that God has done and is still done. Not only does Psalm 100 call us to praise the Lord with thanksgiving, but it also describes to us the nature of having a heart of thanksgiving. Yes. See, you can't give thanks until you get that heart of thanksgiving. Yes. When you acknowledge the blessings of God, when you go to work and you're thanking God for your car, you're thanking Him for your shoes, you're thanking Him for your socks, you're thanking Him for your home, you're thanking Him for how many of you complain about your job and don't thank Him for it? It's time we grow up. And I'm deviating a whole lot. Understand this. When we talk about revival, people, it's not for the world. It's for the church. How can you revive something that never had life? Revival is for the church of the all living God. Revive me. Restore me. Breathe new breath in me. Perform CPR on me so that I can come alive and breathe once again. When we call out for revival, get ready. Some of you ain't ready for revival. Because when God comes on the scene, He's going to check you. He will put us on this altar. Because before the world can be changed and touched, we have to be changed and touched. It ain't about being religious, looking cute and pretty. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. I'll read Psalms 100 once more. I make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures for all generations. The first crucial word is joy. Are you joyful? Are you joyful? Truly. How are you when you leave here? It's not about what you are in here, people. It's not about what you are in here. Most of us have forgot what the church is for. It is to come to be re-strengthened, to be edified, to be refilled, so when we go out, we want to sit underneath each other and get sucked up and blessed up and bless you and bless him, and that's nice. But what good is it if when you go out you don't touch someone? Scripture says we are the light of the world. Are you? Bless those that persecute, bless, curse not. That's what you're going to get when you get in the world. People are going to shoot you down. They're not going to like your Christianity. We think, let me tell you something. The world ain't supposed to like you. Your people on your job who are not saved, they're not supposed to like you. Jesus said, if I was persecuted, why don't you think you're going to get persecuted? Stop sniveling and crying. Get into the Word. See what the Word says about you. Let me tell you, if your light really shining, it ain't fun. It's fun in here. Ain't nobody cursing us out. Ain't nobody saying you're going to get fired. There's no temptations in here. You know, nobody flashing a fifth of liquor in front of you. A roll of joints. Come on, bro. You know you smoked that thing. No. Oh, you need to keep your Christianity at home. No, we don't. Mm-mm. I'm a walker, so this is hard. Hallelujah. Walk it out. Talk it out. All right. Joy is an emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good. Has God blessed you? Huh? I guarantee you every last one of us have more blessings in our lives than things that are negative. When my kids were young, my wife used to sing a song to them. How'd it go? Name it one by one or something. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. When you find yourself in a stupor and it's about you, woe is me. Walk around your house. Just walk. Thinking for your carpet. Thinking for your shoes. Thinking for mobility that you can walk. Thinking for the roof over your head. Thinking for your couch, even though it may have a couple of holes in it. But thinking that you're not sitting on the floor. Thinking for the cupboard. Thinking for your refrigerator. Thinking for your stove. Thinking for your microwave. Thank you for the few clothes you may have or the hundred of clothes you may have. Thank you for the one pair of shoes you have or the 100 pair of shoes you have. Let me tell you something. When you walk and you command your mouth to bless God, you will be blessed. Command your mouth to bless God. Command it. Take authority over it. Life and death is in the power. You take authority over your mouth and command it to bless the Lord thy God. You command it to speak the blessings of God. You command it to bless your life. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. See, we don't have a problem shouting at football games, soccer games, elections, some others? Fashion show. Going to the raceway. Oh, you don't race? Well, they can't hear the raceway. But we don't have a problem shouting for certain things or getting excited. Why can't we get excited in the house of God? He saved you. He sanctified you. He delivered you. He set you free. Why can't we save him? Why can't we shout? Why can't we dance like David? Why can't we be a lunatic for the Lord? Let me tell you something. When I was a lunatic, in the world. I was a crazy guy. I'm with you, Sheila. Where you at? Thank God, Sheila, we didn't meet each other when we were in the world. Lord, have mercy. We would have been a mess. Probably would have smoked about an ounce an hour. Y'all don't know what I'm saying. Y'all have no idea. I'm telling the truth. I was one wicked dude. I was wicked, wicked, wicked. Wicked. Possessed by demonic spirits. Keep thinking that, let me tell you, you don't hear this much. There are demons out there. Devils. I am one standing before you to tell you I was possessed by demonic spirits. That's why I don't play with the devil. You better check yourself and watch yourself. Because we are in a war. It's a spiritual warfare. That's why it says the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Which one is the strongest in you? Are you quick to get in the flesh? Or are you quick to stay in the spirit? Which one are you feeding? You feeding one of them. Are you feeding that flesh man? Just constantly feeding him up. Food. Wrong TV shows. Hanging around the wrong folk. Wondering why you talk like you talk? Are you hanging around the true sister and brothers of the Lord? Where they're going to confront you in some things. Where they're going to try to make adjustments. Are you reading the word of God? Are you praying? You know where you are when the rubber meets the road. You either going to be in the spirit or you're going to be in the flesh. Now, I can lead you to the water. Pastor Martin can lead you to the water. But it's up to you to drink it. And to chew it. To gnaw on it and to digest it. Our lives are actually meant to be a joyful call to God. God wants us to get excited about who he is. You and I need to shout praises to the God. I want everyone to stand right now. I want you to stand. If you can stand, I want you to stand. I want everyone to lift their hands. And I want everyone to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for blessing me, for saving me, and sanctifying me. You may be seated. Now, do you believe it? Okay. Well, since you said it, guess what? You will be tested and you will be tried. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Now, we have read the end of the Bible. We know who wins the war. We know who has victory. Praise be to God on high.
That's right. Come on.
I need to shout a joyful. I need to shout joyfully. Because God has won the victory. We need to be filled with joy and shout because of it. Because we win. Now, we may lose some skirmishes, but at the end, we win. The second crucial word is gladness. Are you glad? Oh, are you glad? Oh, are you glad that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, are you glad that you're here today? Oh, are you glad that God has saved you, has set you free, has sanctified you, has called you, has written your name? Are you glad? Gladness. Feeling delighted and pleased, characterized by or showing cheerfulness. Let me tell you something. Every single solitary church building where Christians dwell, it should be festive every time we come together. I don't want to come to church and have service as usual. I don't like it. How can you program God? How can the creation tell the creator what to do? I'd rather wait for God and we sit here for hours than to go on with our little measly program and God not show up. We are to be peculiar. I think that's what the word says. Folks, let me tell you this. There is a huge difference between gladness and sadness. When we come before the Lord, we are to do it with gladness and not sadness. There are times when people come to the church on Sunday morning worship almost like they are coming to a funeral service. I have been in churches like that. I'm like, who died? I'm trying to figure out, as far as I know, my Lord is risen. He's no longer up here, but this symbolizes what he did. Well, I won't be able to get through it today either. It's all good. I remember when we were at Hall Street. And I remember when, Brother Diorio came and he did a revival for a week or so. And I'm be honest, and I told him this since. And I said, I remember we were sitting over there. I had never met him. And I said, who are these country bumpkins up in here? I'll keep it real. Hey. And we laugh about it now. But I remember I told him that. But let me tell you something. I was sitting there thinking that. Gave the word. He was there for a week or so giving the word. Boom, 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 boom. I remember on the very last day, he had finished. The whole church was gone. Everybody was just meandering and fellowshipping. And I remember everybody was gone. And I went and I talked to him. I said, come on, bro, let's go back inside. And I said, you know, I saw you praying over everybody else. Would you mind if I pray for you? People, all I can tell you, I have never experienced this. I had never experienced that. I think it was myself, him, my wife, who else was in there? I couldn't remember. As we began to pray, it was as though we had a vision at the same time and we physically saw blood coming down from the cross. Literally. And it was like we were standing in a pool of blood. Pool of blood. And God began to give both he and I visions, and I began to literally scream and cry. I'll never forget that. My wife came to consult me, and I had to push her back and said, no, because God was doing something. Mm-hmm. Always look for God to do what he wants to do supernaturally. It may look stupid. It may sound stupid. No one else may not understand it, but let God be God. He's a supernatural God. He is a God of miracles. He's a God of restoration. He's a God that heals, that restores, that renews. Bind your mind to his mind. Bind your heart to his heart so that you will love as Christ loved. Let the blood of Jesus Christ flow through your veins. Gladness. My Lord has risen from the dead. And because of that, we need to celebrate. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And I know that he lives regardless of what others may say. It doesn't matter. I see his hand of mercy. And I see his hand of grace. Yes, yes. Because he has blessed me above and beyond my highest expectations, and I don't deserve it. Each of you. And he's still blessing us. Let me tell you something. Even if you don't think he is, he's blessing you. Even dealing with what we have been going through, dealing with the presidential race in the last 4 years, 8 years, 16 years, whatever, you're still blessed. I shared this with a gentleman from Africa. Reminds me of Frederick Agambe. And this guy is from Nigeria. His name is Richard Kamani. And I shared this with Richard a couple of days ago. And he literally reminds me of Fred. I shared that with my wife. Has the same mannerisms. He's big like Fred, but a big teddy bear. Well, and he was a little unsure about this race. And I shared this with him. I said, brother, let me share something with you. I said, the blessed thing about America, I said, even if it is a president that we can't stand, the maximum that he gonna stay in is 8 years. So get over it. It's true. That is the blessing of democracy. And I said, now, brother, in your land, there got to be a coup to get them out. Because they're dictators. There got to be a coup. You got to kill that rascal. Then it's going to be civil war. See how blessed of land you live. Come on. Stop sniveling. Let God be God. Whoever is in there, pray for your leadership. Pray for them. He put them there. He allowed them. Even Biden. What did it say? Biden 78? 77? If you don't like him, he might make it 4 years. I'm believing he's going to make it. Couple. All right, let's keep it right. Come on. That's what I'm saying. Stop it. Get out and vote. Stop complaining. Even if Trump had been reelected, it's not an eternity. Maximum another 4 years. Pray for him. We're blessed and highly favored. Number three, the third crucial word is dependence. Are you dependent upon the Lord? Or are you dependent upon who you are and what you can do? Dependence, the state of relying on or needing someone or something to aid and to support. I know myself, I need the Lord. Now we say that. But do you acknowledge every morning, God, you're my source. You're my provider. You're my maker. I can do nothing without you but man striving as far as what the word says. Begin to pray certain prayers, people. And begin to watch the blessing and the anointing of God move upon your life. Now keep in mind, when I say the anointing of God, it is not for church. We get it twisted. You want to be anointed when you go out into the highways and the byways, that you're dripping with the glory of God, and that you look back and that your steps, that the steps are just wet. That when you sit down, you go to the restaurant, they come to you to serve you. The next thing you know, they're asking you questions. Next thing you know, you're ministering to them, you're counseling to them. Understand what the anointing of God is. Understand what it means to have the presence of the Lord, that God, on your life. It's time we grow up. We're bypassing many people that God put in our path. And we're not giving them the plan of salvation. Every place that God will put you, it ain't just to go to the store, buy a pretty dress, buy some shoes, get some more electronics. Those things are nice. But always say, God, I'm going to share something with you. I pray this every morning. Pray, but I'm going to share this, that you should pray this. Lord God, I anoint myself from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I pray that every task, God, that you have for me today, may I complete them in a timely manner. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God, I activate and I say that I will walk in your agape love and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Simple. Prepare yourself every day to be used by the true and living God. Amen. Prepare yourself. Don't just go to work to go to work. But also go to work with a spiritual purpose. Seek out who God wants you to touch. May not necessarily be the plan of salvation. You may need to give them a word of God, a word of encouragement, or something. But don't be so self-centered. Be selfless. Dependence. We must learn to depend upon the Lord thy God. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. This verse shows three roles of God. God is Lord. God is God and we are not. God is God. And we are not people. And God is creator. He is creator. Think about that. We walk so much in the flesh. And I'm including me, that we don't even recognize the blessings of God sometimes. Just right now, look around. Seriously, turn around and look at somebody. Well, you won't get AIDS. I mean, you won't get, what is it, Corona? Come on, COVID. Think about it. Huh? Won't catch nothing. Did you know that even this very day of November the 8th, that this day has never existed before? Not even the prophets of old are able to take part in this day. Not Moses, not Ezekiel, not Jeremiah the prophet. God created this very day. This is a miracle working day. That's why God says, this is the day in which I have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is a miracle working day because you're walking in it. It didn't have to be. It's time we come alive. God is creator. God is shepherd. God guides us to the place of security, plenty, and rest. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Oh, but you got to let him restore your soul. And you got to let him lead you by the still waters. See, there are always prerequisites to the blessings of God, people. We want to possess the blessings, but we don't want to obey. Obedience. I've heard it rightfully said, if we are created, he is the creator. If we are the sheep, he is our shepherd. If we enter into his courts, guess what? He is king. If we serve him, he is master. The problem is, many of us have accepted the free gift of salvation, but you haven't quite made him Lord over your life. It's a difference. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your sins are washed. But have you made him Lord of your life? Lord means that he has complete control, supremacy over your life. And this is not to slap anybody down, because you don't hear it much. We hear, well, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. No, not necessarily. See, we all want to be saved in here. But there is a difference between Savior and Lord. Savior. Save me, Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. Save me, Lord. Save me. Sanctify me. Deliver me. Set me free. Okay, Michael. I've done that for you. Now, make me Lord over your life. What do you mean, God? Allow me to be the captain in the boat. I don't know about you guys, but I have to be dependent upon the Lord God. Yeah. You know, we've all gone through many difficult times, and you'll find out what you're made of when you go through some really, 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 really difficult times. God brought us back here, and if it had not have been for the Lord, for many strong friends, people praying for me, I probably would have lost it a long time ago. Literally, I would have lost it. Literally. That's why we need one another. That's why we're called the body of Christ. One may be the eye, the other one may, somebody else may be the eye, somebody may be the finger. You take the little toe. It's part of my whole body. And if I sever my little toe, it doesn't seem like the little toe has much purpose. Some of y'all toes jacked up. But I think everybody's little toe is jacked up. Doesn't seem like it has much purpose. Stub it in the middle of the night. You realize it's there. But cut it off. Your balance, you get balance. And let's just say that toe is severed for whatever reason. If it is reattached to that foot or that body quickly, it can be restored. But if it is left unattached, it can never be reattached. Understand that Jesus always spoke in parables to get us to understand what he was trying to say spiritually. I'm trying to convey something to you about us being the body of Christ. We need one another. There's not one part of the body that is more important. We need one another. Some of you have no idea what your spiritual gifts are. Some of you are walking in your wrong calling. Because you don't know. You just have no idea. Some of you just walking. I don't know, walking. You're just walking. But I'm saved. But you're just walking. Doing nothing. Don't know what you're supposed to do. And that's okay. Yeah. For a while. For a season. Oh, let me get back. The fourth crucial word is thankfulness. Feeling or expressing gratitude, being appreciative. We can't give thanks unless we truly are thankful. Thanksgiving is what flows out of a thankful heart. Are you truly thankful? Are you truly thankful? Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Think about it. We say we're thankful, but are we? Are you thankful for your job? Are you thankful for your trials and tribulations? God says in all things your thanks. How many of you have been persecuted before on your job? Raise your hands. One more time. How many of you have ever been persecuted on a job? All right. First off, some of our persecution may not necessarily always come from our Christianity. Some of us may just have nasty attitudes. So stop trying to always say it's that. Some of us need attitude changes. Some of you just nasty. You ready to snap off, curse somebody out, then turn around and say, I love the Lord. Come on. And that's not shooting you down. I used to have one of the nastiest mouths out there. But God. Oh, I still know how to curse now. I just take authority over this. I just don't allow it to cause me to sin. Well, I still know how to curse. Thank him for the precious blood of the Lamb. But when you are persecuted on your job, from henceforth, first, go into a physical mirror and say, God, show me me. I mean this on purpose. I mean a physical mirror. Stand in front of a mirror and say, God, show me me. Show me my flaws first. Why do I say that? Because we all got errors. We all got flaws. Not one of us are perfect. But also God allows certain things to cause us to grow. Many times we come under persecution because sometimes, especially if we're walking in the Lord, God is fine-tuning our love. It's all about the heart, anyhow. Everything we do is about the heart of the matter. It's not about what was done to you, it's how you respond to what was done to you. In closing, that brings me to the fifth and final crucial word, gratitude. The quality or feeling of being grateful and thankful. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Three reasons to be grateful. The Lord is good. The Lord's mercy endures forever. The Lord's truth endures forever. In Romans 11:36, Paul is giving thanks and praise to God when he writes, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever." Our praise and thanksgiving and worship needs to be directed towards God. We need to be thankful for what he has done and for what he is doing and for what he will continue to do. My prayer is that each and every one of us from this day forward will give God praise and thanks every single day and every single morning in which we awaken, so that God can use us on our jobs, in our schools, in the apartment complex in where you may live, in the townhouse complex in which you may live, in the nursing home. With joy and gladness, with thankfulness and gratitude. And with a heart that is dependent upon me, who is Jesus Christ. All eyes closed, all heads bowed.